Andrew Webster, good morning.
Good morning, boys.
How are you going, mate? You've been writing the last few days. Your articles have been fantastic.
Thank you, Michael. It's been, you know, it's funny, Terry, you and I were on air after the morning after Nathan Berry died, and I just keep thinking back to those times, just how sad and, you know, how many people were affected by the whole thing. It's been quite a surreal week, boys, and you guys should be commended because you've handled it very well on air throughout the week. I was talking to Malcolm Conn, who used to be the News Limited cricket roundsman for many, many decades. He's now in a media role with Cricket Australia, and I was on the phone to Malcolm trying to line up an interview with Steve Smith, and then he said, oh, he's watching it on TV. He said, oh, God, something's happened here to Philip Hughes. And if any of us had known then, or if Malcolm had known then, or I had known then, that it was going to develop into what's happened in the last few days, I would have said you're insane. So
yeah, you're right. I got a phone call saying, oh, Phil Hughes got hit. He's been hit in the head. And I said, well, he'll be right. That was my initial response. Then they said, no, it's more serious than that. Mm. And then I thought, Yeah, it is.
But even when he was rushed to hospital and we saw the scenes of him falling and it looked terrible and you knew that they'd worked on him at the ground, I still thought the outcome was going to be a positive one. I did not expect him to pass away. There are families, or there's a family that will never recover, and there's an individual in
Sean Abbott
who will possibly never recover here, Webby. And I don't know the game will recover. The game is in shock. This just doesn't happen.
Absolutely. I found it quite interesting, and it's the harsh reality of life and the legal system that Sean Abbott had to be interviewed by police with a report being prepared for the coroner, which obviously will not, you know, lead to anything you would assume. But, you know, if Sean Abbott hadn't gone through enough and wasn't feeling any worse, all of a sudden he's having to be interviewed by police over, you know, and reliving it in graphic detail what had happened. I was quite... Sorry?
Yeah, sorry. You're right, mate. You keep going.
I was quite, you know, there's all these...
That surprises me. I guess that's the major issue, I guess they're just doing what they've got to do, you know?
I think it's just a procedural thing that they have to do.
Sure.
I heard you guys talking earlier about, you know, what effect it's going to have on his life. I'm going to be, you know, quite blunt. What effect is it going to have on a lot of people's lives? It seems inappropriate to speculate about whether there's going to be a test match next week. And I know Channel 9 were getting inundated with media calls about it yesterday, and they were getting quite angry about it, some of the Channel 9 executives, because there are bigger things in life than the test match. But you're right, Slats, what effect does it have on cricket? The game certainly lost its innocence in the last couple of days. I'm really interested to know what it means for a fast bowler. This wasn't supposed to happen. We had helmets and padding and restrictions on the amount of short deliveries that you can bowl per over, and this wasn't supposed to happen, and now it has. You know, what does it mean for, you know, the contest between bat and ball?
Yeah. No, I'm with you, and we go back to Mitchell Johnson and what he was making the English batsmen feel like last year. They were fearing for their safety, but they got through five test matches, and there was nothing like what we witnessed the other day. So does it mean that Mitchell Johnson doesn't tear in and bowl like he did last year? I think over time it'll get back to pretty well normal, but just in these next couple of weeks, I'm not sure, Webby. I really don't know. And in terms of the test match, I personally hope that it goes ahead, because I think that'd be the best way to remember Phil by playing the test match and having this tribute. But obviously there's funeral, is there a delayed test match? There's a lot of possible outcomes here.
I'll be stunned if the test match doesn't go ahead, to be honest. Who plays in it is another thing altogether. Boys, you know the thing that stands out the most for me in the last couple of days is how every single person to a man tells you what a great person Philip Hughes was. Now, you know, those type of platitudes come out all the time about people, you know, and it's an easy cliche for the media, but when it came to him, it was fair dinkum. It was real. And there's a story that I relayed in the story that I wrote today in the Herald. When he got dropped after he got dismissed, you know, those four identical times to Chris Martin, he got dropped from the from the Australian team, and the press were very, very brutal. And, you know, as you'd expect, and we're very, very, the Australian first 11 is scrutinised more than any team in the country. But then he was coming back through Australia A, and he's at the SCG the following summer, and he saw the leading cricket writers, and he came up and he individually shook all their hands and asked how they were and didn't hold a grudge. Now, that's almost unheard of in professional sport, where sports people are that genial towards reporters. So well, I think that's it, a mate. Really, really interesting mark of the man.
Yeah, and I think he relates to the Australian public because he was a battler, you know, and he
he's a kid from Maxwell.
That's right.
He got a lot of knocks, and he stood up. He never carried on, and he wasn't the most boisterous character, but gee, he was a nice fella.
Yeah,
he was, and I found it quite eerie to hear Mark Waugh say that he was obviously a shoo-in to replace Michael Clarke in the Test team next week. Just shows you how fragile life is.